Welcome to the Mindset Makeover. During this unique show, hosts Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter accompany you on a journey of mindful thinking, true feeling, and clearing mind chatter, all to align you with deep answers and multiple possibilities that help you move forward and live in the now. You become present, clear, and unstuck, and able to live fully led by your heart. Michelle and Lisa invite you to listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. Open up to what's possible and experience a shift.
Hello, hello, and welcome everybody to the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible, the show that shifts. I'm Lisa Berry.
And I'm Michelle Carter. Hello.
Hello, I almost forgot to do the, I was going to just go, hi, Michelle, how are you? Oh, my gosh, I need to talk to you. And then I forgot we're actually doing the show.
Like, oh, my God, what's the show called? Hello, everybody.
Oh, and what city are you in today, Michelle?
Because she's a world traveler.
I'm in Huntington Beach, world traveler. I'm an hour away from my house. No, I'm in Huntington Beach, California.
Okay, so it is an hour, but it feels like you're much further because
well,
the way you guys have...
It's more than an hour. It depends. It's an hour without traffic. It's like three with traffic.
Oh,
oh LA.
That is so true. But you know what's really neat is that when even when you do only travel, oh my goodness, that's so cool. I have a cat calendar. I know everybody is surprised to hear that. But I have a cat calendar that I change over every day, and there's a new picture. And today the picture actually was a cat in his backyard, and it said, sometimes the adventure begins in your own backyard. And I didn't even think about it just till now, because you're only an hour away. But I was thinking, oh, gosh, because, you know, you have to stay at a hotel, and you're doing a wedding, and it's a whole different thing. So sometimes we don't need to travel so far, like the Bahamas or anything like that. Or we can just start an hour away or in another room of our house even.
That's totally true. I like
so you,
staycations.
Can I just, staycations. Oh, do you remember when they started that word? That wasn't that long ago. Staycation.
Oh, I don't know.
That's a newish word. Oh,
I've said that forever, but I don't.
If you don't know, I coined the term. I actually got to have a forced staycation last week because I got a cold, and I rather not that I enjoyed having the cold, but I rather enjoyed it because I got to watch a series that I'd been dying to see, Downton Abbey, and because of it. Well, not because of it was why we're doing the show, but the theme of the show today was inspired because I was watching it and it's a set in the early 1900s and they were faced at having to change with the times, but really coming up with new solutions that they'd never thought about before. Like kind of like that what's possible thing. But there was a step before finding out what's possible. They had to find out what the problem was. And then so everybody, I talked to Michelle and I said, hey, why don't we talk about the problems before the possibilities? And Michelle was like, yes. That's important.
It's very important because it's like, it's very easy to say in theory, like, make a shift, change your life, everything's awesome. Like, and of course, we want to believe it's that easy. And ultimately, sometimes it can be that easy. But we're humans, and us humans have a lot of blockages and have all sorts of many, many stories that have been created in each our individual minds. So there is that part, that step before the possibility.
Yeah.
So I think it is important to talk about that. And I love when you said that because we have all been there. And with small and big stuff, there's always that, like, is this going to work?
Every
How
day,
do I do this?
Well, I was really thinking about the word problem. And I was dissecting, because I love words, you know that. And I was sitting there dissecting the word problem. And I thought, okay, challenge. And then I was like, obstacle. And I thought, okay, so really, anything is only really identified as a problem, obstacle, or challenge if it is something preventing us from reaching a goal. And generally our goals, well, I mean, the external part of it. I know, isn't that kind of cool? I thought of it. I go, what actually makes a problem a problem? Why is a problem for some people, but yet not a problem, the exact same thing for others? And it does really depend on our goals. And that whole thing we talk about how I want to be happy. Happy is my goal. The thing is that there's a lot of definitions of what people think, you know, for themselves, what makes them happy. And so Some could be money, some could not be. So if somebody is flat out broke, they could still be happy, and that's not a problem to them, where somebody else could be, oh my gosh, I only have $1 million in my bank account and I want 8, and it's a huge problem.
You know, so yeah.
It's really more about goals and the success of reaching that goal. Yeah, I've been so thinking about this. Thank God for this cold. I was really excited.
Everything's a gift.
They go. It's funny, that show, you and I have talked about this. You know how everybody talks about a show at some point, and you hear it and you hear it, and there's some reason it's holding you back from watching it, or whether it's time or just lack of interest, and then you finally watch it, and you think, oh my gosh, I get it. That's why everybody's talking about this. This is cool. This is something.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody, and also, too, it's like, I wanted to see that show so much. Like, I was almost envious of your cold, which I was like, that's weird. Why am I envious of your cold? I was like, I want to be sick so I can watch it, which is so funny. I'm like, or you could just watch it.
But we also sometimes feel that we need validation to be able to sit down and watch TV. I know that's something that I really did feel. I was like, am I actually going to tell people that I watched that many shows in a row? I was like, well, I'm sick, I can do it. But, you know, I don't even need to say that.
No, and also, too, we live in the land of binge watching. Like, that's just what people do now. That's how it's changed.
That's a really neat term. Did you just make that up, binge watching?
No, not at all.
Okay,
it's literally how, you know, speaking of weird that I didn't even intend to say this, but speaking of you saying that the show was about, you know, changing with the times, I was thinking that the other day because all these new shows come out, and they'll come out, say, let's use one show, September 23rd, show comes out. And then, I mean, this happened recently with this show I was so excited about. And I, like, literally after working, spent one night and I just watched the whole series. And then at the end, I'm like, well, now it's done. And I was like, but for shows, not series, the whole season. But I was like, that's like kind of what it's like for every show right now. So the networks have had to change the way they do things, because it is changing with the times, because it's common now for people to binge watch. You don't really wait. There's still some shows that come out weekly, but it's like, I feel like it's easier because we all have such, you know, we're in a much busier time right now. So maybe, like, people allot little pockets and then they get addicted to something and then they watch it. But I wasn't really even thinking about the binge watching. I was thinking about the changing, how viewership, how the way people watch stuff, the way, just using that as an example, but how much stuff has changed. And companies that have remained successful, they've had to change with the times instead of fighting it, instead of holding on to the old model, because the old model isn't existing anymore. So, I mean, I know that's not the subject. That's a wormhole. That's not the subject of the show. But
I love the wormhole. No, but
oh, I can wormhole.
That wormhole is great, because that actually depicts they needed to isolate, not and identify, but they needed, okay, like a problem, like I said, can be from anybody's viewpoint. So if we're considering that network for right now, and they're thinking, okay, our problem would be, let's say people aren't watching the show, it's not, or popular, or they're demanding more, we can't keep up with it. Like, there's a very specific
I was thinking of it, can't keep up with it,
can't keep up, the demand is, so like, we need a high-paced turnover, and then that way, also, because if they're going to need more content, they need to hire more people, they need to make more money, and like, there becomes this network of quote-unquote needs, not problems. There's only, oh, what was that really cool need saying I had? About a month ago, somebody said to me, it's a problem if you don't have money, but it's an expense when you do. Do you remember that? Yes,
that's good.
Isn't that clever? So the problem in that situation, you're isolating it. So it's not that, say that the network, the problem isn't that they need content. Maybe the problem is they didn't have enough advertisers to get the budget for the new content. I don't know. But you know what I mean? There could be all these levels. And I think when I think about when I'm trying to really look at what is a real problem in my life, if I were to say, I'm taking this really, I'm not letting that commercial sneak up. Okay, good. I have time for this. If we look at, somebody might say, a problem would be, I'm hungry, right? But maybe the problem isn't actually that they're hungry. Maybe the problem is there's no food in the fridge. So, and then the problem is, why isn't there food in the fridge? And then that's the problem. So we can go to all, it's really an emotional state. Where are you getting stuck? Where is the true problem that cannot be, that you need a resolution for, that there is a solution somewhere? So, because if you just stopped and I'm hungry, that's a problem. I'm hungry. You can truly never solve that unless you had food in the fridge. But if you have to have food in the fridge, somebody has to give it to you. You have to obtain it from somewhere. And then, you know what I mean? Like if we keep going backwards, okay, well, how do I get to the store? How do I get to the farmer's field? How do I get somebody to give this food to me? Like then those become the problems. And then you find out, okay, maybe I'm a shut-in. Okay, that's the problem. So it's like if we really wormhole that down to the root of it, I think that's where something – I want to really talk about and share today so that listeners can go, you know what, it's not just all about the what's possible. Well, what's possible is your fridge could have a bazillion things in it. What's possible is you could be so opposite of hungry and be so stuffed and full right now. So, yes, that's all possible. But really talking about walking through the steps and stages of working with that problem as a fun thing, like a team, like we're going to be on the same team as the problem and fix it.
Well, you can find solution. I mean, with everything, there's usually some type of solution, even with the – but, yes, it's identifying the actual problem and not just the reaction because – sometimes or the symptom, because the symptom isn't the problem usually, like because you're using hunger as a symptom because that's – being hungry is not the not the problem.
Correct.
No, it totally makes sense. It's like any time – yeah.
Well, I love that you actually said about it, there's a solution and then take action. So my mini list, and if we do, we can go through this list because it really is, it's a reaction to a choice that we've made somewhere along the line. And we've been faced with a choice. Like that's what a possibility is, right? It's choose. But when we come back, I do want to talk about what happens if we don't know choices, what's missing that we don't know that we have choices, we don't know what the choices are, and we haven't identified the problem to find out what those choices could be. We don't know what action to take because maybe we don't feel safe. And I knew that commercial was coming up. Okay, so see, I'm going to continue on my list when we come back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Guitar, right? We're just saying we're swaying and dancing. It's always fun. Movement, right? Well, see, just before we left, I was going through my little – I like this going through the steps of anything because – and I thought about this before. I thought, why does one – how can – why at some point in even one person's life or one person compared to another come up with these possibilities and feel good about things quite often? Because I think when I'm in a really heavy situation and I go, uh-oh, that's a problem. That's not going to work well in my life. What am I going to do? I immediately feel better once I get a little bit more information. Because if I don't have anywhere to go, if my brain has nowhere to go, and I feel lost and not supported with those. And so if I myself haven't yet gained experience in life, whether it's because I'm a two-year-old or whatever it is, or I just haven't taken chances, or I just have lived a very quiet, you know, not very exciting life kind of thing, and all of a sudden I don't have the confidence or the experience or the fear or the information to move forward. And you and I talk about safety a lot, and really safety isn't just about feeling supported and secured, but it is about your own personal confidence. And I think that's where a lot of people have problems in their lives who don't feel confident and secure.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like I almost went on a tangent there.
No, but everything boils down to that, because when you feel, I mean, when we have time, I have a great story of problem. I mean, I have a million stories, but I have a very recent story of problem solution. Well, speaking of confidence and safety, this to make a decision. Okay, so my story starts out here is that, and again, I could grasp from millions of ones, but this just happened yesterday. So Ben, my husband, and I were coming down to a wedding because our friends, I was marrying them, like the minister, if you will. And so anyway, I was really officiating. There you go. Because I always say, oh, I married my friends. And people are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, yeah, officiating. I don't get that
word.
You
love love so much.
Anyway, I do love love. I'm a big, big love fan. So it's probably why people seem to ask me, not always, but I've married two friends now. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, oh, yeah, that so I was all excited. We were coming down to Huntington Beach. I'm like, oh, it's going to be great. Okay, and I found this Airstream. Like, we originally had a hotel, but then I looked on Airbnb, and I found this Airstream. And the Airstream was super cool. It was like this vintage Airstream on the beach. The pictures looked amazing. And so I was super excited. So we drive down. We go to the rehearsal. It's at the beach. We hung out at the beach all day. And then we're like, oh, we're going to our Airstream, and then we're going to meet everybody for dinner. So we go to our Airstream, and it's everything. It's so weird. Like, the whole situation's weird. It doesn't even have a bathroom. It's, like, super suburbia. Like, it's not on the beach. It's everything. It was so weird. Okay, so the point of it, I had really romanticized this idea. I was really, really excited about it. And so we got there, and I was just so, I was really upset that it was weird. And then Ben was just laughing. He goes, ah, who cares? It makes a story. Because he's like, this is weird. This is definitely weird. But because there wasn't even a bathroom, like, you had to walk through the main house. And not only that, you had to walk through kitchen and dining room. And it's a long story. But still, it was strange. It was weird. We ended up staying there one night. We were supposed to stay two nights. But so the whole point of, so this is the problem. And I was really upset about it because I had created this envision of what our little trip was going to be. And now it wasn't. And now it was super strange. Like, and there's more to the weirdness of the story, but let's just leave it at weird. And then, so anyway, it was, Ben kept saying to me, he's like, it's just part of the story. He goes, and he was really cute because he's like, we have so much to be grateful for. He goes, who cares? This is just hilarious. But then it was actually getting, like, the not having the bathroom super weird. So speaking of safety to make a choice, I texted Lisa to be like, what would you do in this situation? We've already spent all this money on it. Now to go stay in another hotel, we have to spend all this money. And I kind of knew Lisa's answer too, because there's no way she would not have a bathroom, especially to get ready for a
wedding.
Because
I'm also the comfort queen, and you were not comfortable.
Yeah. Exactly. And it was great because you're the perfect, but safety to make a choice, because I knew I wanted to get another hotel because it was just, I couldn't even envision getting ready in someone else's house in their bath. And for some people, this wouldn't be a problem at all. And for me, it was a huge problem. And I know it's like everything you said kind of fits in, because I was like, I'm telling a story about this and I don't even know how it will fit. But it totally fits because then the next morning I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go to Starbucks. This is just too weird. So I'm calling all these hotels because now Lisa, for a while, she had said, you know what, just do it. Who cares? Because I was like, oh, I don't want to spend more money when I've already got two nights and just making all these blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it was super uncomfortable. So then I call these hotels. Nobody will let, no early check-ins. And I'm like, okay, there's just got to be a solution. I'm going to find a hotel. And I called one and they were super nice. They're like, we can get you in right now. And it was amazing. It's like, so there was this problem that I was really making a mountain out of a molehill. Like, I was totally, I think because I had idealized the experience, and then it was so it was so weird, and I thought Ben would think it was weird, even though, I mean, it became a story of the wedding because everybody thought it was hilarious, and they couldn't believe we went to another hotel. But the minute we got to the new hotel, so we made this choice, and so, and then was just so relieved. And also just, it could have, it's a nice hotel, but had it not been just having a bathroom, I'm so grateful for that. Who knew that would be so amazing? But it all turned but it all turned around. But a big part of that decision, I don't think, had you said, because I was kind of, I talked to you about it, mm-hmm. and you were like, no, you have to be comfortable. And you just gave me that confidence to make a decision, because I was like, it's stupid when we already have a night paid. Why would we go stay it another night?
Right.
And
you gave me the confidence
to make that decision.
I think what the thing was, too, is I don't think you were sold yet on what the problem was. You were torn between, is the problem that I'm going to have to spend more money when I already didn't, when I already spent it, or is the problem that I'm really uncomfortable? So you probably intuitively talked to the person who would support the comfort over the money at that time, because I actually felt and believed that the expense of your energy would be more costly in the event of staying and being uncomfortable than the expense of a new hotel, which your entire mood would have shifted. So I weighed it out differently. And I'm really glad that you did help me ask me about that. And I also really glad that you started off the whole story by saying you'd really romanticize this idea. We create this and we get very excited and attached to it. And I think the question is really, what are we willing to let go of on the emotional level, right? Like, what are we tied to or committed to find a solution? So what are we willing to let go of to find a solution? And without jumping super quickly and transitioning to stories.
No, but I love that. That's
huge, because how many times people say, I can't learn that new skill because I'm too stupid. And so if that is what they're holding on to, if they would just be willing to let go that of the belief that they can't, that they're not good enough, that they're not able to, capable, whatever the word is, then the solution might appear in a different way. So sometimes it really is, first, identifying the problem is huge, as I just say. So, yeah, we were trying to identify, oh, my God, I'm torn between two problems. Which one is more important here?
And then you feel silly sometimes with your problem. Yeah, I think another thing is, especially with everything, how I believe and all these things, like I felt silly and I was like, oh, this isn't even a problem. Like I'm being a baby. But it really was, because I really did think that. I was like, I should suck it up, blah, blah, blah. Like this isn't, people have real problems. Not liking your Airbnb is not a big problem. But the thing is, the energy shifted so much for making that decision. Because I was aware, because I didn't want to be like, being like a spoiled brat. But I think it was exactly what you said. Like I had so idealized and romanticized this idea that that's why I was so disappointed. And it's amazing though, you can make a choice and then all of a sudden it changes it changed the whole outlook on this whole trip. And it was great. You know, it's all great. And now it's funny. It's just funny.
Well, you just gave me a whole new category to identifying the problem. You actually, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I think this is actually, once we even identify the problem, there is a step between, and thank you, Michelle, the step after identify the problem is judging the problem. You really were like, this is really ridiculous. Because you know what? I remember when I used to, my dad, he's just a little angel guy. He's just running around, just all happy and good. But very peaceful. He's like Zen. And I used to freak right out about how I thought my problem was so insignificant compared to the problems of the world. And I would literally be bawling my face off and crying and just so upset thinking, but really people are starving and I'm worried that I don't like this meal. And it was just traumatizing to me as a child. And because I was really going, why do I deserve it? My dad was so careful and very good. He wouldn't say those words, but basically the message was, Lisa, you can't judge your problems. Everybody has a different life. And some people would be even, you know, a different problem than yours. That your problem seems really massive and their problem is even smaller, but everybody's problems are important. And it's more the level of not judging, like versus somebody, like comparing them to somebody else, but comparing them to, is this problem, once I've identified it, once I let go of the judgment part of it, is this problem preventing me from getting to the goal of being my highest self? Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, that's get better. No, that's beautiful, though, because it really is easy, especially when you have, you know, you don't want to spend all your time on trivial things. But the thing is, a lot of life problems, I mean, there is huge stuff. There's huge stuff that happens to lots of people
life
all the time.
Trivial.
And but there is a lot of trivial little things. There's a lot of, you know, the what is it in the camel's back?
The straw that broke the camel's back.
There's a lot of things like that, you know, or like the thorn in your side. Like there's a lot of little things that build up that you need to address them.
And the most common one too, as they say, which the camel one is super common, is when you fill up a jar full of big rocks and then the little stones and then the little pebbles and then pour the sand in. Like you can get all these little things can sometimes take up more volume and really change the vibration of everything. Because if you have, let's just make it a nice normal number. If you wake up every morning and there are 20 little problems affecting your two biggest problems, affecting your one life goal, you better be dealing with those 20 little problems.
Oh, that's so true. See, that's such a great way of putting everything together. I love that.
It's because I have cats everywhere. No, I'm sorry. If there's
that's
one
why.
Cat causes a problem, then it's the whole world. But bringing it back to our vibration, oh, I have a really great analogy just for us, Michelle. La, la, la. If one note is off in a whole song, you focus on it.
Oh, that is so true. Like even yesterday during when I was doing the vows, I messed up one word. I didn't say New England properly, and most people are from New England. All night, people are like, oh, that was great. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up New England. Like, I tripped on that all day just because of that
whole
thing.
What's the difference? What's the comparison for the before and after of New England? How would you say that?
Oh, I mean, I tripped on the word, so I don't know. I just tripped on the word.
Oh, okay.
It was just funny that afterwards, I was just saying afterwards, I was focused on it.
And you were focused on it, exactly. And that we're going to come right back to that
I
after
focused
the commercial.
On it the
we're
rest
gonna
of
talk
the night.
About exactly, how we can let the little things ruin the bigger picture. Okay.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at devlivemedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Focusing on the little that when we focus on the little things that ruin our bigger picture, how like traumatic that can be.
Yes.
I want to make sure.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Very like, oh no, I don't know. I want to read a tiny paragraph from one of the books I'm reading. I'm actually reading The Motivation Manifesto by Brendon Burchard. Love him because he speaks fast, just like me. And there was, you know how again I get hung up on words? I really do, and you know this because remember we were learning, and I'm going to share this word with everybody. Don't know. I don't have a hate on for this word. I just, the word database, for some reason, it bothers me. It feels so, I don't know, non-lovable to me, but which is a horrible thing to say. So I do get hung up on certain words.
Not horrible.
It's not horrible. Yeah, you don't see the judgment there? And what am I willing to let go to find the solution? So the thing is, I do focus on words, but because they each have a vibration in my world, that word holds a vibration of me. So somewhere along the line of my life, it was probably because it was used in an explanation for a computer course, and I probably wanted to throw up. So you know, I carried it forward with me. But there was a word that I love the word to be of service, to serve people. But there's something about it. I certainly love the word. There's something about it that to me always holds this kind of judgment that other people might think, oh, like a servant, like, you know what I mean? As you have a master or something like that. And I came across the word, which we've all heard before, contribute, like a contributor. And I love that word. It feels very non-judgy, very even, and I'm a Libra, very balanced and fair. And when I came across that was in this book, I mean, I've come across a million words, but that was really something that made me feel good, because as we were just saying before, we can focus on something and then we become present on the repeating focus of that thing that's actually harming us and not allowing us to move forward. And we become not present, and we're missing out. Because, you know, when you were focusing on that word New England, perhaps, maybe you were missing out on a few other joyful emotions of the celebrate. Who knows? I'm taking this to a big level here.
No, I mean, but that's taking it quite far. It wasn't that big a deal. It was more that my issue, it had nothing to do with any of that, because I don't get so hooked up on semantics. But mine was more, it was that I would not let it go the rest of the night. That was it. That was my thing. It wasn't about anything to do with had nothing to do with the word. It had nothing to do with anything. Right. It had to do with me not being able to let go of it.
Yeah, you were focused on it. You're not letting it go and not moving forward with it. And so this is the one little paragraph that I found, and I love this, and I just wanted to share it. So once again, it is by Brendon Burchard, The Motivation Manifesto, and it is it says here, this is why we seek personal growth, to be free from the pain we cause ourselves, to make better choices, to feel better about who we are becoming, to act more confidently in social situations, and to unleash our full creativity and contributions into the world in order to make our highest difference. Gaining personal freedom in this sense is letting go of any self-doubt, self-loathing, and allowing ourselves permission to be our unique, powerful, authentic self. The paragraph was insane.
I love that.
I was it just reminded me of everything that I knew that I want to help people with these things, because to be our most authentic, powerful self really is to let go of maybe that emotion that's behind any of the things that we think are problems. So right now, you and I could probably not talk to each other, make a list of what a lot of people, their most common complaints and problems are, and we would look very similar, right? We're in the same world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be money, relationship, health, that kind of thing. And each one of those, when we're thinking about it, to identify each of their own personal problems with it, I'm gonna bet that it goes back to that emotion. So if I was going to ask you, Michelle, if you could think about it just for a moment and feel, what would be the top, let's say, even one or two emotions that would fuel your problem stuckness, like being stuck, stuck, stagnant, need a shift? No,
for me or for people in general?
I could go either way.
Well, I think most people and myself included, you know, people get really hung up on like worthiness and failure, and because you hear that, that's a common thing, kind of no matter where people are. Often people, that's what it comes down to, worthiness.
Worthiness, that's a powerful word, actually. Worthiness, self-worth. But you said it, worthiness. Most people say, I love that you said that, worthiness. See, that's hung up on the word.
Yeah, worthiness words. Yeah, see, you love words.
So let's take worthiness. If I were to somebody, anybody, we as people, are to think, I'm not worthy of that. If, like, really, I'm trying to think of something I might say, oh, you know what, that's, oh, I know, I break jewelry all the time, so I truly believe I'm not worthy to wear expensive jewelry. But what makes me, because I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. I'm going to break something, lose something, ruin something.
Yeah, because I don't think most people go, some people do, but I don't think most people go, I'm not worthy of that. They don't say those
right.
words. They might not even identify with those words. It comes, worthiness is like the, that's the base of it, but that's
right.
not, they'll just be like you, they're not going to say, I'm not worthy of getting expensive jewelry. That's, it's very rare that that's
right.
going to happen. It's going to be like, oh, I don't get expensive
jewelry
because I break it. Oh, I never get nice glasses because I break them. Oh, I'm not going to get that because that's like ridiculous. Waste money or whatever.
So it's usually followed.
Not...
Yeah, it's usually followed with what they feel they'll fail at.
So yeah,
I'm
exactly.
not.
So I don't think. Because people don't necessarily talk. Some people do, but it's very rare. People don't talk
right.
those terms. Like we're.
Right.
So about,
that's what I was going to do.
Like, we don't walk around like psychobabble of
yeah.
books. Like, because books always talk
no, no,
about.
No, no,
that's
what I'm saying.
I love that I
language.
Generalize
let's...
books.
Right. So let's try to find the language right now so that listeners can identify. So they're saying, okay, we've got to the root thing, let's say, what we've decided right now. Say, okay, we're going to talk about worthiness or failure.
Yeah.
Like, what is that language that they're going to say? So something like, oh, I've tried that before, and
yeah,
I wasn't
I
any
think
good
like
at
that.
It.
Yeah, anything that you're putting limitations on yourself, I think that that has to do with worthiness.
Ooh.
And it could be
Ooh.
anything that it's like, oh, I'm not good at that. I mean, I run into that a lot with music lessons, especially with the adults, because and they start, like, I've had many adult students that start singing lessons later, and they could be any age, but let's just say over 20. And quite often blocks be like, oh, well, I really want to sing, but I know I can't. Or I hear it all the time when people are like, I'd love to take lessons, but I'm tone deaf. I'm like, so what makes you think that? Oh, my aunt said that when I was 3. I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, you may not be tone deaf at all. But it's amazing that people hold on to, and because people say it all the time. They're like, oh, I wish I could sing, but I can't. And it's like, well, maybe you can, you know? So you don't, I think anything, worthiness would have to be anything that I think you're putting limitations. Because if you have no desire to do
yes.
something, it's not a limitation. Like, if someone's like, oh, I'm not an amazing stockbroker. Like, I don't care. I never want to be a stockbroker. Like, I will never want that to be that in my life. So it doesn't matter to me. But so it doesn't.
I love that you put the distinction. Yeah, I love that you put the distinction on that. So anybody who might say, if they're saying the words or thinking the words, I can't, or I don't anymore, or I haven't, if you could make a list, I don't know, make a list or think about those things and find out, do you think that you've put a limitation on yourself for those things? Or maybe you're just not interested in it. Maybe your whole family are lawyers, but you just don't want to be. It doesn't mean
no.
you're not able to, that you can't be one. It's that that's not of interest to you. That reminds me of, I used to go through an exercise with my clients. It was actually what to do with food, which is really weird. I can't remember why I would have done this, but I remember doing a list, all the things that people love and want to do. But then I said, are you committed to doing this or are you interested in doing this?
Mm.
Because if you were committed to doing something, but you just couldn't, you weren't successful at that, then what is the problem? Let's identify, do you believe that you can? There's that worthiness, right? Or do you have a past history that you maybe not even focused on, but focus that you might have failed somewhere along the line in it, that you've, you know, you had that little trip up, and then so we need to clear that. And I think that's part of this whole problem identifying thing is listen to the language that we're saying currently right now that's going through our brains, and let's break it down. Let's go backwards. Is it a limitation? Is it a non-interest thing? Is it a, you know, and then where is that coming from? I love that you just had this huge distinction between limitations and interest. Oh, that was perfect.
Well, it's just because we're not all interested in the same thing, and that sometimes something that's so important to someone else may not be important to me, and vice versa. Like, we were talking about that last night at the wedding in regards to purses. Like, this one woman was like, I'd never spend thousands of dollars on a purse. And I was like, and this woman, she really wanted to. And it's like, you know, it doesn't really matter. There's no judgment there. It's whoever, it's all what's important to us. So if it's important to you, you'll put the energy. And you had said that to me a long time ago about, which I loved, about the, are you committed or interested? It had to do with, think we were talking about one of my students, but the committed and interest. Yeah, and I love the commitment and interest because it's totally true. When you're committed, you will find a way to make anything happen. And your limitations won't really, you can be terrible at something, but you're like, I'm going to power through and be amazing at this. So I think they all go together.
That's true. And I think that's what we said about the worth. And if we take it even to, I'm checking that commercial sneak up. Take it to, like you said, worthiness or failure. When the world is right now, some of the world is feeling so abundant, so rich. They're looking around, they're feeling all that, just wealth. And then some of people are feeling, their very, very neighbor is feeling so poor, so broken, so desolate, so no hope. And if this show could help that shift, because when we bring all of those things down to identifying the problem and figuring all those things, then the next step for finding the possibility is if I did this, if we were to let go to find the solution, then the solution comes in those questionings of if this happened, or if I did this, or if we did this together, if it changes or if it doesn't change. So I think a lot of the word if, I think you actually just said if just a while ago, if we can actually go from I can't to if this was different. So even if we highlight the problem and say, if this was different, if this was that,
if is possibility. Yeah. I never thought about that before. I love that.
Yeah. You're going to laugh. I have it right there. It's responsibility with a line, if. And then if we can go through, say you've never done anything in your life. You've never made a dime. You don't have any money. What if you knew how? What if you saw how to do it? What if you had the courage to make those choices and take those actions? What if you had the information of knowing that it's possible? Do I have time? I'm going to quickly say this. So I do a lot of research on food, obviously, and it's not just food of what to eat and how many calories, but what's really important to me is I knew the commercial. We're going to come back and actually surprisingly talk about food in just 1 second.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Mother, Mother Ocean. Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
So listening about the manatees, I forgot. I was like, well, it's not about food. What was I saying? I'm part of the food revolution. And whenever I read about it, I gain more information. So it's just information at this point, right? Just taking it in. And then I develop a response of emotion, like I'm thinking about it, and then I'm feeling something about it. And so they've identified the problem, and then now I make it into, where is this problem in my, where does this problem fit into my world that I could be a part of a solution, whether it's even about just like the manatee commercial we just heard. So there's new information. You're like, I didn't know that. And now I know. And now it's in my world. how much time or energy in my world is this going to be? And where, what is the if? What is the possibility and what is my choice to it? But if we never expand our information, if we don't gain new experiences, new perspectives, we listen to other people's views, or, you know, everybody listening to this right now, I mean, we're listening to other you guys listening to us and hearing us to say, oh, listen to Michelle's point of view, listen to Lisa's point of view. And I think that really helps stretch us in a way that even if we don't have that personal experience, at least we can gain others and we have a direct response, like a vibration that happens in ourselves that we can either align with or, you know, resonate or not resonate with. And then if we can have that support and strength enough to be able to feel safe and then move forward and make a choice and say, if I did this, this would happen and that would make me happy. Or if I did that, I would not be happy. And how happy were you after you booked your hotel and got in it? Like, how happy was that shift?
I felt like it was ridiculous. It was just so, it was insane how relieved we felt. And then it was funny because we just walked over and we went and had lunch and it was great. And then Ben's like, you should go get your nails done. And then my nails looked amazing because they were exact same color as my dress. And then it was just, everything was easy. And it was, went from something that was going to be this full, I was just picturing like it was all crazy, you know, like days before a wedding. And it was just beautiful and amazing. And then, and the funny part was it just got ready in like half an hour and it was easy. It was all easy. But also too, the solution happened really, really quickly. Like it went from the minute the decision was made, the solution was there. But it took a while to make the decision because I had so much guilt about the decision. I was like, this is ridiculous. I already have a place to stay. I should just be grateful. But the minute I made the decision, because I was waffling, and when I was waffling, I couldn't, because at first, like, Ben was like, oh, don't worry about it, it's fine. But when I was waffling, I couldn't find a solution. And the minute I made the decision, I found a hotel, because a lot of hotels were booked. I found a hotel, and it was easy, and it was done. And we found out the new place we were staying was only, like, 2 miles from the other place we were staying. So it was all very easy. Once the decision
very
was made, and it took a while to make the decision.
I love that you actually said that you had guilt, that you brought the word guilt up. That not only, oh my goodness, an hour and a half before the show, one of my friends and I were having a major conversation about guilt. And I have my favorite line I always say is, there is no room in my life for guilt. If I have done something with the intention of this outcome, I either take responsibility for it and own up to it, and that's something, and usually I'm pretty sure that most things I do are with good intention. I mean, it's the best I can do. So there's no room for guilt. So guilt is so interesting because guilt is when, I don't know, let me ask you, you define guilt for you.
Define guilt? I mean, a pit in your stomach, feeling terrible, feeling you've done something wrong, feeling shame. I would say all those things.
Right. So you're feeling that you've done something wrong. I think that is like the most, everybody can understand that. You have guilt because you feel like you've done something wrong, even if, which is crazy, even if what you've done when you decided to do it, making the decision, you hadn't, there was nowhere in your thing that you thought, oh my God, I'm going to feel bad about this later. This is something I'm going, you know, I mean, sometimes there is, but generally we carry guilt about things that we truly didn't think were going to turn out bad. We really, you know, and that's life experience. So when you're trying to make that, you know, guilt about the decision, whether you're going to, you've already paid for one, you got to move to the other, you feel bad about the loss of money. So what I think it's important to neutralize those feelings, that lower vibration feeling, and really have favorite Michelle line, be kind and gentler to yourself and have compassion and add that to.
Yeah, because I mean, sometimes we will have times, it's like not to think life is all airy fairy. There's total times where maybe guilt's warranted. Like there are some not good things that happen, but generally, most of us are not living lives. I would say probably most people that are listening to this, we're not living these crazy, you know, we're talking about smaller things, and ideally, you know, we're all living fairly consciously and doing good things. So it's like there's sometimes, it's not to be totally ignoring, there is some awful things that happen in the world, but there's also, I would say, most people generally, like not totally, but generally, most people are pretty good. And we usually do things with our best intentions, even when they might not be the best thing. I remember years and years ago, my mom said, She's like, you know, we're all just doing the best we can. And it was such a simple thing to say, but I loved it because it's so true. Like even in your worst time, and even when people are being their worst, they're doing the best they can at that time. And otherwise we wouldn't be doing it, you know? And it gave me so much more compassion to everybody and to myself and to everybody, because we're, even in those really, really dark, low times, we're still doing the best we can in that moment. And so it's important to remember that. And it's important to know we can change, you know, that's the whole reason we do this show, is because we can change.
I love that you brought up about your mom giving you that advice, because, yay, Willie Carter, thank you for that advice to help the show. But you know what's really funny is my dad's coming up again, and we just heard the commercial early for Ascending Hearts, which I think is a fantastic, I love the whole matchmaking thing, with whether it's people or food or whatever that is. But when I was younger and dating, my dad sure helped me out in that situation too, because I would come home and go, I hate him. He's such an awful boy. And my dad would say, he's doing the best he can with all of he has at this moment. It may not be what you need or want right now, but he is doing his best. And I was like, okay, he's doing his best. He's not doing my best. So I would have to negotiate, of course. Oh, my poor dad. Let's negotiate his best.
That's
here.
Really
Hold on.
Cute.
But I just love that we did bring up the guilt thing, because sometimes we even feel guilty on a very regular basis about saying, we just ran out of steam at the end of the day, and we were supposed to go to an event or a dinner or a thing or do something. And that's when you're right. We kind of have such guilt. It wasn't like we intended to have those things. So I think all those things that can build up, and then you think, oh, I don't want to commit to this later because I might not. And I think that's where, when I was really truly thinking about problems versus possibilities, because I love, love, love possibilities and asking the question if, and the thing about the problems, by the way, that really stuck out to me when I was watching that episode of Downton Abbey, when they were going through the changing times. And I really mean through, they were trying to find a way to make their land make money, be a business, because here it was, they had money from the royalty family passing along. And then they thought, we need to have this be a machine, like to drive services and products and things like that. And in order for them to find out how they could do that, how they could achieve, that was the goal, right? The goal was to make the land, make money for them. But they needed to go and find out where the people were already living on the land, what problems they were facing, that there would be a need. Like my grandmother always used to say to my family, always pick a business where people need, it's like not a commodity. Am I saying that word the right way? Yes. It's something that people will always need. Food and stuff, not something that people can live without. And so in looking at that, you look at your own life and you find out, what is it I really need? And that's the thing, like what we said earlier, you will commit to it. You won't just be interested in it. You always find a way to do that. And if we can make all those lists of, where are you saying I can't and I don't, or make that list of finding out what is important? What could you not live without? What is the goal you want to achieve so badly? And what is it that's holding us back from achieving it? And the final thing is, what are we willing to let go of to find the solution? That's my big recap there before we left. But
yes, I love all that though, because it's, yes.
Well, it's everyday living. I think it's the thing. And I was going to ask you, so what one problem I want to share with everybody. I'm going to think of a problem that I want to overcome right now. I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to ask you. And then we can ask for support and ask people to think, maybe they have that problem too. I'm trying to think of like one of my everyday things that I wake up and go, oh, I already know mine. Hold on. Just came up. See, I imagined waking up and having that problem. It sounds like a trivial problem, like what you just said. I'm judging the problem. I have this huge thing I know I want to physically work out, like work out, but I need to eat. And I can't work out on a full stomach, but I seem to always have a full stomach because I'm constantly eating. So the problem is, like, I have to figure out, yes, I'm going to solve this problem and share it publicly, what my solution is and what I went through. I'm going to walk through the process of this with everybody. Online. That's what I'm going to do. Michelle, I'm committing.
Okay, so you're not doing that now, though. I'm confused.
No. Oh, no. No, I'm going to just do this as a thing. We can put it on the website. We can put it on we'll do it on Facebook or something. Because I want to share with people just the most basic, easiest, common, everyday problems that some people have, but it actually consumes my energy. I think about it all the time because then I feel guilty for not doing one of the two. You know, I'm like, great, I'm working out, but I'm not eating. My body's starving to death because that's what I would go into. My God, I'm starving. I'm dying, you know? So I would do that publicly. Is there a problem that you want to walk through with people as you shift?
I mean, I already talk about so much of my stuff anyway. I can't really think. I mean, there's a billion.
Oh, that's
true.
That is true.
I don't really know. At the moment, I live so in the moment, as you know. So I'm sure I'll have a problem in an hour, but right now I don't know.
Okay, well, that was on the spot. So what we'll do is, I think that's what we should do. I think I would love for you and I, Michelle, to share on our Facebook or somewhere we can just publicly continue sharing with people just the little things of how we're identifying a problem and going through the list and those questions of building our self-worth, making sure that we feel safe so that we can see the what ifs and the possibilities and then share with everybody the successes and thank them for their support.
Yes, absolutely. I love that idea. I think that's great. I always love anything for us to connect. Everybody, we all have, we're all in this together.
We are all with us all together. So please, we always invite you to 432shift.com. Find us on Facebook, find us everywhere, but we always love to hear from everybody, no matter what it is. Good, bad, beautiful, and the ugly. All problems. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, we want to hear from you. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.